Hello and welcome to episode 80 of Champion the Gamer. I'm joined by Matt, otherwise known as the Game Collection. How are you, first of all?
How's it going, Marv? Yeah, no, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. This is exciting for me because you've got a perspective we don't really hear much about, which is you run your own game shop. How is
Well,
all that?
a little caveat, I suppose there. So whilst I am the face of the Game Collection, I suppose on TikTok and YouTube these days, I think it's we've had this confusion kind of in the past before. Someone was just like, "I can't believe you're a one-man shop." And I'm just like, "Absolutely not." I am a small cog in a not too large, but a definitely a larger machine. So yeah, there's an awful lot of work from a lot of really, really, really awesome people that goes into the Game Collection, and I'm just a small part of that.
So let's sell it a bit. So what is it you do? What is it the shop does? Where it will come from? Where it will start, etc.
So the Game Collection, it's funny, the Game Collection's been running 20 years this year, out of a warehouse in Swansea. So it's a small independent UK games retailer. Started back in the day as a celebration of physical media. The parent company actually, and one day we'll get the owner to actually, I'll get him on video talking about this. But he got into physical media and distribution because I think Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes went out of print, and no one could get any. And he was like, "Well, this needs solving. That's a killer game." And a retail sort of entity came off the back of that, which was the Game Collection. That started 20 years ago. I joined the games industry actually as a blogger, and I was working at the time for Hot UK Deals. And obviously doing a lot of covering video game deals, video game news, reviews, all of that sort of good stuff. But I was in touch with a bunch of the main retailers at the time, of which the Game Collection was one. So fast forward 19 odd years to last year, it all kind of comes full circle. I came on board as their kind of head of marketing. So yeah, when I say I'm a small cog in a larger machine, like I really mean it. Our main social guy, Jack, he's been busy growing the community over on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for like the last 10, 11 years. And I think, that's a massive point of differentiation for us, right? Like, we sell physical games, and that's increasingly rare, to be honest. Like, we've seen our competition like dwindle over the years, and now we're a small fish swimming in a big ocean. Well, an increasingly dwindling ocean, to be fair, with some really big fish like Amazon, Argos, Currys, the purple one. So like, our competitors are significant, and we're just sort of that sort of plucky underdog, I guess. But community and that kind of conversation, that engagement has always been at the heart of what the Game Collection's done, especially in the last decade since Jack came on board. And it's been really nice to hop on board myself in the last year or two and help with that. So yeah, that was
Well, I
really
like it.
rambling, sorry.
No, that's all good. I mean, honestly, I said before, if someone could chat for an hour and I could sit here, I'd love it. It's,
Mate,
I mean,
I will talk at length, so do stop me, jump in, like ask
that's all
questions.
good. But I was going to say, like, that whole thing about you feeling like a small fish in a big pond, or whatever, and your competition dwindling, I get that because I see it in the sports world as well. And just the selling of physical stuff is just dropping full stop. And everything's coming on online PTs and stuff like that. There's a whole thing, we can get into that later. But like, how do you feel though, seeing that play out? Because I know for me, my local game shop is like Mecca for me. I'd much rather go in there than pay online for anything. I'd much rather support Alex and his independent store. Are you seeing a big resurgence in like what we call locals and regulars? Is that keeping it going still? And is there a big influx of that, or is it a bit more of a struggle now, do you think?
So important to recognize. So the Game Collection, we've never had a bricks and mortar presence. Although we've been asked about it a lot, and we continue to get asked about it a lot. And there are plenty here who I think would love to see it happen, even if it's only like in like a small kind of flagship kind of sense. Like, maybe one day we do open like a little shop front in Swansea or something like that. That'd be awesome. But I do think like the point about physical dwindling is. It's It's true. There was a report that came out, a really worrying one, to be honest, towards the start of this year, looking back on 2024, that said basically, physical was accounting for less than 10% of video game sales in Europe in 2024, and that's down on the previous year as well, right? So like that's it's hard not to be worried about that, right? When I get to look at a lot of our demographic data, and I see, for example, that our audience is an aging audience as well. And I feel old saying that because I'm 38 now, but and I'm a geriatric millennial. But like, but that's but that's but that is our audience in many ways. It's it's
I
folks
don't
like
even know
us.
what the, well, I didn't, sorry to cut you off. I don't even know what the Gens are. I'm that old. Like, I'm 35, but I've got no idea what Gen Z even means. So.
But this is the thing. Like our audience is basically me and you, people like us, people that have grown up with physical media, understand the joys of physical media, and now I think hopefully in our kind of mid-30s have the means to go about reclaiming our physical collections again, right? But I think we're super grateful for that audience, and we've got a really engaged, returning customer base. And I think that's what's kept us going. It's what continues to keep us going. We're grateful for anyone new who comes through the virtual door, right? And shops with us because it's hard. It's hard to acquire new customers in the physical space these days because everyone's pushing digital so much. Like FC is a good example, right? EA, that Ultimate Edition, only available digitally. If you're a diehard FC fan and you want that week's early access, you've got to go digital. So that's where it gets really tough for us. And we might get onto the subject of things like game key cards later on, but like those decisions impact us greatly because and physical collectors in general, because we're seeing a shift that it's pushing ever more towards the digital, and it does make life harder for us. But I think that's why we focus on community and engagement so much, because I think just as there have been in music and in other entertainment sectors, there's a passionate fan base that wants and really appreciates physical media and wants to preserve it and cares about entertainment and specifically game preservation, and wants to keep those sorts of things alive, and we're here for that. Doesn't mean we hate digital. Jack and I have talked about this on videos and podcasts as well. Like it's about the choice for us, and it's sad to see slowly some of those choices perhaps slipping away.
I feel like it's a topic because I said about emulators as well, and I said about digital stuff. It's got a place. I had a great conversation with Mikey, and he was saying that emulators are cool because emulators and digital downloads and stuff like that, if they're cheaper, they've really, really got a place because they can act as demos. And then the collectors can go out and get the physical stuff later if need be, especially when stuff's costing so much more money now. And I understand people don't want to spend X amount on games because it's so expensive. But if you could try it first, like in the olden days, you'd have a chance of buying it after. Where do you sit on your collection then? What's your personal stash looking like? Are you still holding on to physical media? Are you plugging away at the shop yourself, or what's the crack there? What are you playing?
I think I'm collecting much more since I joined TGC.
I'm
That's
not surprised. I'm
that's
really not
for
surprised.
sure. It's funny because obviously I think you had Charles on a few episodes back, and obviously he's reclaiming his old collection, which I
The
think is
nicest man alive. I love him to
I
bits.
think like absolutely, and I think that's a story that so many of us can relate to, right? Because like you grew up and like again, I'm 38. I sold my Game Boy collection to get an N64. I sold my N64 collection to get a GameCube. I sold my GameCube collection to get an Xbox. And that's kind of how it went. Like now, I'm really fortunate. I can afford multiple consoles. That's it's a nice state to be in. And working in the industry helps. But I think anyone who's been through that cycle of the old gen pays for the next gen kind of thing. You reach a point now where social media is everywhere and people are celebrating their collections, and you're like, I should have held on to all of those things. And I find that incredibly relatable. And so, that you might not be able to see it just above the Borderlands stuff there. I've started collecting GameCube games again. So I literally, actually, is it here?
And is
I
that the GameCube Switch controller as well?
yes.
Yeah.
So it's my favorite console. I've started. I'm not going for like the whole collection. I think it's just going to be kind of highlights that are personal to me and a few rarities as well. So I found a great price on Pokemon XD the other day, and I was just like, "Oh, I'm having that. I'm having that." I'm keeping my eye out for Fire Emblem, just because I love the series as well. But like, so yeah, I'm starting again, I suppose, with GameCube, and then it'll probably be Game Boy N64, perhaps. I think when you're collecting, like, you have to have parameters, because here's the other thing as well. Like, I love Lego and I love Star Wars, and so there's a whole bunch of that stuff that's just sitting in a cupboard waiting to be built, and you run
Say,
out you
have
start
you got
run
any
you
money
start running out of
left?
display space. You start running out of
Have you got
display
any money
space
left, though? If you're a
and
Lego
money.
fan, exactly, yeah. That's crazy combination right there.
It's really unhealthy. And then of course, like, I'm a sucker for FOMO as well. So like, I'm having to I've got a little he's 11 months old today, actually. So I've got a son now, and that's really helping to put a slight limit on the, yeah, like, I can't buy this several hundred pound Lego set, which I couldn't anyway. But it's like, because I've got to be responsible now, not just for me, for him. So but eventually he'll go to school, and I won't have to pay nursery fees anymore, and I can get the Millennium Falcon then,
And then
maybe.
you're going to get the whole. This is your moment now. But
That's right.
it's all yours now, mate. Sorry. No, I find it because I'm with you. I've seen Charles grow his page in the last, say, 2 years. It's been so cool because he's literally playing out everyone's lives, and that's the sort of
Yeah,
stuff
it's so
I
relatable.
want to see. Yeah, because I had the story of I'll say 2019, let's say, because it was before COVID, where I did the same thing. I, like you, I sold my PS2 and 32 games, a number you never forget, for the Xbox, and that kind of pattern carried on. So by the time I got 2019, I was like, I've got some space here, I've got some time here, I can,
Yeah.
I'll get the GameCube back, I'll get the Dreamcast for the first time, because a lot of it was stuff I never had as well. A lot of people that are reaching our age never had everything,
Well,
and now
exactly.
you've got the adult money, we can go and get it.
Yeah,
The
if you had a
problem is
mate who had a
time access.
PlayStation,
Yeah.
and you had the N64, you were kind of covered, right? Like,
Yeah.
that was often how that
I
worked.
because I had a friend around the corner from me that had the Dreamcast, and until I saw it in his house, I'd never actually seen it before. Because obviously there was no internet then. I had no idea what it was. So I never played Shenmue back then. And going back to it now has been awesome. And if anything, at the age of 30, let's say 30, 29, 30, my love of gaming was reignited because I got to experience these for the first time, some of them. I played Shenmue at what, 29, 30. I played some of the Pokemon stuff on GameCube at 29, 30. And it's reignited a love for gaming I didn't have for a long time. I was playing FIFA and 2K and COD. I was like, I'm bored of this now. I want to go back to the better stuff. What are some of the changes you've seen in patterns? And by that I mean purchasing patterns. Are you seeing people coming in and hunting for more rare stuff now? Or are they just like, I want to get FIFA 14? Like, how is that all going down?
I think so. We mainly focus on it's usually new stock and new releases and kind of the more modern stuff. I think again, we've had plenty of debates internally about pre-owned, and I think a lot of us, we've got folks that used to work for Granger Games up north, and before that, a lot of us are a long time GameStation fans. And what that brand used to represent here in the UK in particular, and even game back in the day, right? Like before the dark times. But I think, that when you had multi-buy deals and 2 for 20, 2 for 30, and a lot less risk across the industry, I think. But like, these days, we're fortunate. I think because we're independent, and because the market's been overtaken a lot by those big department stores, right? So your Amazons and your Argoses, your hit buyers go there. So we do well off of the back of of COD and FIFA and NFC and things like that. But the big hitters for us are single player AAA experiences for sure. We've done really well off of Ghost of Yote. Those pre-orders are absolutely flying. We've done bits off of Galaxy 1 and 2, which went up for pre-order a few days ago off the back of the Nintendo Direct. So unbelievably happy to see those games back, by the way. But yeah, I think our audience, our core audience, the diehards over the years have definitely been folks that are after that kind of that single player epic experience. We do well on niche titles as well. Well, I say niche titles, like genre titles as well. So, lots of JRPGs. And folks will tell us as well. Like, I think they'll ask us if we're getting certain things in. Trails in the Sky, the re-release, we originally weren't listing it, I don't think. And then our buying team, off the back of some social engagement, we got some stock in, we were able to list. I think that's now live on store. Actually, I think we've got stock in the warehouse now, which is great. So we're led in some ways by our community and what they kind of want to see from us too, which is a wonderful position to be in, a great relationship to be able to have. And it's nice as well for the community, I suppose, to be able to say, yeah, this is a two-way thing. We're not just shouting into the void when we chat to the game collection on Twitter, which I think is true of many of our kind of larger competitors, certainly. But yeah, I think there are a number of us that would quite like to go further back in time, I suppose, and start stocking some of the retro stuff and start dealing with some of the rarities. And now we have the collectibles side of the business kind of growing as well. I think that's something that won't necessarily be, we're not necessarily talking about weeks or months, but maybe in the next year or two, that could be something that you start seeing on TGC or our sister collectibles site.
That's cool to hear, though, for two reasons. One, because you said about the story style games and the resurgence of that style. It's not just going on. We've got the online thing now, but people seem to want more of the single player epics, like you said there, or the dare I say offline experiences that they
I
can
mean, Clair
experience.
Obscur, like best game of this year, and it sold bucket loads. And we've been told by big publishers, for years, oh, people just want live certain. Nah, not
I
like,
love it
and
though, because
we still
it.
crave these, as you say, these kind of single player offline
I
experiences.
mean, I had that with Baldur's Gate
Awesome.
3. It's a thing where
Oh, what a game.
you don't need to have this expanse of, dare I say, even options to play with people. Just give me something I can indulge myself in that I can spend time on, and it's value for money. Because then the second thing is, it's nice to hear that you've got this. With physical media dwindling, as you say, and with the market changing and whatnot, it's nice that you've got this position to be in where you can plan X amount of years ahead because you know the patterns that are going to happen. And there's going to be this need for certain stuff to come back because that shows you're not struggling. I'm not trying to speculate on you. I'm just saying, generally
Yeah.
speaking, it shows that there's a ways to go, which is exciting. It means that we're not sort of, not just you personally, but I mean, generally speaking, it's not going to dwindle and die down. It's going to stay sustained for different reasons. And I think that's really cool to hear that because it means that it's exciting and not scary.
We hope so, right? Like, I think, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say that there's an element of finger crossing, and there's an element of praying, and there's an element of hope. But people have been prophesying the death of physical media for years and years and years and years. I think the only way it really, really we'd start getting into squeaky bum time is if, fully discless consoles were everywhere, right? And I know Xbox with the Series S, they flirted with it. But I just don't think, until we see all of the big three adopt that wholeheartedly across the board, and I'm biased, but I'm fervently hoping, and I truly believe there's still a place for physical media. I think there'd be an outcry. I think that, we saw Nintendo send round that survey a few weeks back asking people about how you feel about game key cards. You don't send out a survey like that unless you're seeing some activity hitting your bottom line that is making you ask those questions, right? If everything was hunky dory and everything was absolutely fine in the world of game key cards, no one's asking those questions necessarily. But clearly, there's a okay, we need to sort of see how widespread, what the opinion base on this is, and do we need to change tackle, kind of whatever. I hope that, we fervently hope that physical media remains around for years and years and years to come. It's easier to make money on the digital side. That's, there's so much more margin in it. There's so much more space. There's so much more room for profit. I spent a year, just somewhere between a year and a year and a half working for Green Man Gaming years ago now. And, really cool to sort of see the industry from that perspective as well. But I mean, you can afford to do so many more things, and there's so much more room for things like discounts and creative pricing and all of that kind of stuff on the digital side, because there just is. Physical is more expensive, but there's an audience that's behind it. And I think the choice is always going to be the thing that we kind of champion and we hope remains. So we've got a great engaged audience. We've got a great returning customer base. We like to be bigger always. Do we want to come after some of the cut that our competitors have? Absolutely. But I think, as we always say, if you've got love for gamers, we've got love for you. And we're going to be here championing that sort of customer choice to the end, whenever that may be. Hopefully not for many, 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 many years.
I was going to say, let's keep it going. So, before we get into a bit more about you as a personal gamer, right? How annoyed are you by the thought of, let's say, I don't know, a Switch box, a game case box with no game in it, just literally a code? Does that really irk you that much?
So we sell Code in Box. I don't think any of us like Code in Box. It's and this is and this you know this is one thing I will say about game key cards, right? Like, at least they sell an illusion of, at least they cater towards some of why we love physical, right? Like, you can trade them, you can swap them, you can lend them to your friends, you can resell them, which is frankly brilliant. The little ritual of And some of why we love, or some of certainly why I love physical, is the little rituals. Opening the case, seeing a physical thing there, holding it in my hand, putting it in the console, that's all part and parcel of it to me. And so I appreciate at least that side of a game key card, even if, it falls down when it comes to preservation and playing offline and all those, and the other side of the coin of why we love physical. But it's a massive step up on, I mean, Code in Box is just sad, really. And we sell them because we have to, because sometimes that's all we get. It's the only way we can sell a product, because it's the only physical thing that a publisher has for a certain game. And so we're just like, okay. And sometimes you have to shovel the shit so you can get the good stuff. Sometimes we have to take an allocation of Code in Box so we can get to, a physical cart of something that we really want and that we know our customers really, really, really want. So there's an element of that playing the game a little bit as well, keeping publishers sweet, so that we can do the job on the stuff that we know really matters to our audience. And there's, there's, yeah. Yeah, Code in Box. My
I could
mother
see your
always said, if you don't have anything nice to
despair.
say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
So I will leave it
But no,
there.
you're spot on there about shoving the shit a little bit, because I think gamers, how do I phrase it nicely? Some people have a certain mindset where they want everything to be hunky dory and lovely. You need to go through some heartache and some pain and some struggle to actually understand what's good and what's not sometimes, and value certain things. And sometimes that can be microtransactions. Are we in the phase right now where in 10 years' time they'll actually be policed and they'll be okay and be fair and safe and not just a loosey-goosey spend your money thing? The coding box, will that be, will the box have value later on? Who knows? So there's ways and means of getting around things that you need to struggle through first to see the end of, if that made any kind of
It
sense.
does. I think it's I one thing I will say, I think it's really weird. I think, again, Microsoft, Bethesda have done this a lot, where you get a really, really nice physical special edition and then a code in that. I'm like, why? Like, you've made this gorgeous, amazing physical thing, and there's a digit. I don't, at least, I don't really understand it. I don't don't really understand that at all. But yeah, that sort of makes me sad when I'm like, here's where the game space would be.
Yep.
But it's not, it's just not there.
Well, let me see if I can help you inflict some of that pain and sadness on others. We
Yeah.
do hot takes and solid debates. Let's get into you as a gamer now. Have you got any gaming hot takes?
I got any gaming hot takes? I don't know if this is a spicy take, and I think I might have. I can't remember if this is a video that actually went live or if I ended up parking it.
They
But
more often than not are. When someone says that, they more often than not are.
so I'm fed up. I'm fed up of Souls likes. I'm really fed up of them. And I will completely admit that I am crap. Like I am real dog shit when it comes to FromSoft titles, when it comes to harder games. Get good as a mentality, I can completely understand and I respect the design choices, and I wish I could love them, because the art style of FromSoft titles in particular, phenomenal, wonderful, brilliant things. The music, amazing. The approach to lore, I love. I just hate the games. I just personally, I can't get into them. And partly it's because I suck these days. It wasn't always the case. I think actually, if I discovered them when I was in my teens and I had time to get good, I'd love them. But now I just can't. But when I say I've had enough of Souls likes as well, like I don't want to yuck anybody's yum. I don't want to like rain on anyone's parade. If you love that genre, like it's completely understandable. I completely understand why people love them. But I'm fed up of everything being a Souls like, because the action genre used to be so much broader. And I say that as a guy who's, I'm the other end of the spectrum. I love Devil May Cry. I love Bayonetta. I love those incredibly fast, slick, responsive, look like a badass, feel like a badass games. Like Vanquish. Vanquish is 4 hours long, maybe at a push, and it's still probably my favorite third-person shooter of all time. And you've got, at one end of the spectrum, you've got slow, plodding cover shooter. You've got Gears of War, which I love as well for completely different reasons, but they are completely separate games. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got Vanquish, which is just, oh, there's an entire button just for lighting up a cigarette, because that was cool back in the mid-noughties. It's just Vanquish is the best. But my point is that, like, yeah, I think not every single game needs to be an homage to FromSoft or like a rip-off of Dark Souls or just that copying that whole oeuvre, I guess. Like, there's room in the action genre for more. It's why I'm really glad Ninja Gaiden's coming back. It's why I'm really glad, I think when Black Myth, when Wukong came out, I think the studio took some umbrage at like folks calling it a Souls like, because it's not. And I think it's a lazy term as well. I think the media is partly to blame here, because we've started describing everything that kind of even remotely looks like Dark Souls or Elden Ring as a Souls like. And I'm like, let's remember there's an entire spectrum of action games out there. It's like one of the reasons I'm rambling a bit now, but one of the reasons I wanted to go back to the GameCube in particular was because I was like, it was Christmas actually. It was this year. And my wife and I, we are massive, massive, massive Lord of the Rings fans, because anyone who grew up during that era, every Christmas for 3 years, you would go to the cinema and you'd watch Lord of the Rings, and it was the best. It was the tits. It was awesome. And I'm sat there on like Boxing Day going, do you know what I really want to do? I really want to just rinse Return of the King right now on GameCube. And I can't. I shall start collecting. And that was the start of that. So, but again, back in the days when actually movie tie-ins were sometimes quite good. Action game, hack and slash as a genre, I miss hack and slash. I miss hack and slash. It's why I actually love Dynasty Warriors Origins being so good as it was earlier this year. Like, that's, again, slightly different series, but yes, more of that, more variation, more choice in the action genre. Like, it doesn't all have to be Souls-esque kind of action. We can have more. We're allowed more. There used to be more.
You're preaching to the choir on that, because I was I could have sung gospel just then because of the way you're talking. Because I think like Souls likes are a genre that's so strong, and like you said, I completely appreciate the music and the lore and the feeling it gives you, a sense of accomplishment and everything. But like someone said to me the other day, I can sit and watch somebody play against the same boss 85 times. I ain't doing it. Basically, I'm just not doing it. I don't need that pain. And you said about was it Ninja Gaiden? I'm sat there going, you know what? Yeah, I've recently this last 2 years played Tenchu. I've played
Great game.
Shaolin. I played what's the one? Bushido Blade. There's a whole ton of games. Onimusha is another one. Devil May Cry. There's so many games there that I think, yes, this is more me, because it's tighter. It's more niche. It's got this like I can complete it in a day vibe. Whereas these Dark Souls and Elders, whatever it is, I just can't play them. I just
No,
can't.
we were lucky enough to go hands on with the new Onimusha at Gamescom this year, and I'm sat there playing this, and I'm just like, this is coming. Yes, this is what I want. I was hyped. It was so good because it made you feel like a badass, and then you get thrown into a boss battle, and you're just like, okay, cool. Now, this is the way of the sword. This is, yeah. Just like responsive combat, man. I don't want to hit a button and then wait 3 seconds for something to happen, which I know is a very, very reductive take on. And I know you can play fast in Elden Ring, and I know Bloodborne is a quicker, more responsive title. But like, I just give me DMC and Bayonetta and Onimusha and that stuff.
Blood Rain, Legacy of Kain. There's a whole ton we could get into that I think are just better. Because they want more character. Someone's gonna sit here and tell me that Elden Ring's got character. I'm like, yeah, it has, and I understand.
You've really got to go
It's just
hunting for it. I do like it though. Like I wanted, and this is the thing. Like I want to love it, like because I'm looking at it and I'm going, I'd love to, but I just can't. I can't. I find it too frustrating.
Just sit in your pain right there. Let's come out of that one then. Let's go into the next part, which is coaches' questions. So, if those don't know, I ask questions on my page, on my TikTok page, and I get a chance to ask three or four or five now to the guests in front of me. So, question one then is, what is a game that the ending you would change of?
Ooh. Oh man.
Can I just point out that was horrendous wording? What game ending would you change is much better.
What game ending would I change? Oh man.
The
What
run
game
continues.
ending?
I've stumped every single guest with at least one question.
What game ending would I change? I don't know. All I can think of right now are game endings that are absolutely like bang on amazing. For some reason, like, yeah. What gaming looks, yeah, like,
Mean, there might not be any. You might be in love with all the endings you've had. You know what I mean?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head immediately.
I mean, someone said about, I mean, 'cause someone's mentioned it to me before about BioShock with Andrew Ryan being like just a one-shot killer.
Well,
And
I
it
think.
really doesn't. I'm like, that to me works, though. I like that.
Ah, right. So you've jogged the memory there. The ending of BioShock Infinite is horrible. It's just that relentless combat bit on top. Is it on top of the airship? And it's just really annoying. And it's a complete disservice to the rest of the game, which I found interesting. It's not a patch on one. To be fair, one's ending. Yeah, one's ending. That kind of battle is also annoying, but I do think I like, yeah. I mean, the Andrew Ryan. It's not really a spoiler, is it? Like the Andrew Ryan death is probably one of the best twists in video games. The whole would you kind? It's just a BioShock's great. BioShock is so great. But yeah, the ending's a bit weak. I think Infinite's ending is even weaker. I remember being absolutely just. I think I had to do that combat bit 4 or 5 times. It's just waves of enemies and like AoE attacks on you, and it's just a grind, and it's really, really annoying. So yes, I would absolutely change BioShock Infinite's ending. Also, yeah, the actual story, the way the story ends on that in the main game is a bit nonsense. To be fair, BioShock Infinite kind of disappears up its own ass a little bit. The DLC made it better though. The DLC did make it better. The Return to Rapture stuff, that's not its name, but I can't remember the actual. Burial at Sea. Burial at Sea. Awesome. Awesome DLC. Similarly, I think BioShock 2, slightly weaker game, but the DLC, Minerva's Den is like one of those examples where like the DLC is genuinely better than the main game. It's phenomenal. So like I think with a lot, certainly with 2 and with Infinite, you get a main game that finishes a little bit like, but then the DLC saves it. So that's quite good. So yes, no, thank
And
you. Thank you for the assist there. But yeah, BioShock Infinite, definitely. I definitely changed the ending of that.
that's what I'm here for. Because literally, you said that, and it spurred my memory of mine. I put a video out, and I put this saying the GTA 3 ending I changed slightly. I make Claude a bit happier. But, like, I literally, as you're speaking there, thinking Path of Neo, The Matrix, I've never been so offended by an ending in my life. You play this whole story of Neo thinking it's great, lovely. If there's a Matrix fan out there bigger than me, I'll be surprised, right? And I'm sitting there thinking, this is amazing. I love it. I'm actually finally playing as Neo. I've had to enter the Matrix, which is all okay, but I can deal with it. And then this is like the pinnacle. You get to the end of the game, and they go, Wachowski's go to you. Nope, that ending is pants. We're not doing that. Here's a robotic, massive Agent Smith. Leave me alone. I hated it so much. Obviously. So that for me, basically.
Conversely then, what's your favorite game ending?
Ooh, okay, that's interesting. The tides have turned. I quite like, and it's a bit of an easy peasy one, but I quite like the ending of The Witcher 3 because I feel like it culminates enough that you can be satisfied, but
Yes.
it does leave DLC options. It does leave
And
because the world
what
always felt.
DLC options as well, like the DLC for
Yeah, and
Witcher
it
3 is
because
amazing.
The Witcher to me is amazing in the sense of like Baldur's Gate 3 is it's a world. So like you could jump on The Witcher 3 now having completed it, and contracts are new. There's new stuff to do. So it's not like the game ends and that's it. Like, you play a lot of open world games, especially older ones, and you finish the game and there's nothing else to do. It's an empty open world. Whereas you could live in The Witcher, if that makes sense. So I've always appreciated that. Oh, I don't know. Best game ending.
I'm going
I
to
mean,
throw
what
Ocarina of Time out there. I think it's
okay,
just a,
yeah, you can
I
do
think,
that.
I mean, it's my favorite game of all time, but I think it's just a perfect bittersweet kind of everything comes kind of full circle. It's just beautiful. Just love it.
I've actually got two. I've come right by it. So one is Halo 3 because of obvious reasons,
Yes.
but for those I keep mentioning it and people are gonna get bored, but To the Moon on Nintendo, I think. To the Moon is so strikingly beautiful and heartbreaking all in one go. I think it's amazing. I don't know if you've played To the Moon or not.
So I always like to talk about games that make you cry. That is a game that has made me cry. Just it is absolutely devastating. It's just it'll ruin you. It'll ru I challenge everyone to play
It's stunning.
that game and not be
Yeah.
moved.
So there is that one. Okay. So generally speaking, then, first or third person?
Depends on the genre. I think obviously first is so much more immersive. I don't like it when. So I'm going through Far Cry 6 at the moment because it was on like every so often I'll dip into Game Pass and I don't know. I don't know what it was. I was just like I fancy some empty calories, and that's kind of what a lot of Ubisoft stuff lately can be. But it's like it's super polished. It's 7 out of 10, and it's quite easy to play. But like I hate when you go into when you go into like the hubs. And it switches from first into third person. I'm like, why? There is no need for this. Why are you breaking my immersion like this? So I really don't like it if a game is first person and then breaks into third. I don't know that that makes sense a lot of the time. Although I will say that it was used to quite good effect in the recent Indiana Jones, which I really did love. But generally, I think from an immersion perspective, first, from an action perspective. Third, it's just easier to see what you're doing and your surroundings and get your bearing on enemies and so on and so forth. But like, I think generally first person from an immersion standpoint. But all my top five is probably full of third person, if that makes sense. So I think it really depends on what a game's trying to do because it makes sense for Zelda and it makes sense for Knights of the Old Republic, which is another one of mine. Although I'd love to see that in first person, actually. That would be really good. So yeah, no, I think it depends on the genre. I think it depends what the game is trying to do. But certainly a lot of those, The Witcher 3, another favorite. That would be really, it would be strange in first person, obviously a lot more like a Skyrim or something like that. You'd have to change the combat system quite significantly. But I think it could work. And I think because it's such a living, breathing world, I would be quite interested in seeing what a first person Witcher game would look like. But it's difficult, I suppose, when you've got a protagonist that is such a character. I think that almost has to be third person because, it's not just you. The character isn't just you. So it helps to be able to sort of see them, and you're playing through Geralt's story, and you're taking on a lot of that mantle yourself. But Geralt's story isn't Matt's story, isn't Marv's story. So it's kind of, I kind of like that it's third person, I suppose, in those circumstances. But first is obviously quite immersive. Obviously, Resident Evil Requiem, you can switch between the two, and we had this again at Gamescom, and Jack is a lot more into his horror, which is to say that he's a lot less perturbed by horror, and I just jump at everything. So I think I will be playing some bits of that in third person just for my own nerves, but obviously if I wanted to get the full experience, first person all the way. Like, but then I'd have to change underwear every 2 minutes because it's terrifying.
Make
Terrifying.
kind of a streamer though, if he was a jump scare fiend.
I mean, do people really want to see a man shit himself on camera? Actually, that's ridiculous. The internet, yes, probably.
We go, see.
Yeah, if I ever lose my last shred of self-respect, then yeah, I'll just start doing that, just crapping myself on horror streams on Twitch. I don't know what the rules are on scatological stuff on Twitch, but I don't know that folks want to see that.
All right,
That took a dark turn, sorry.
a little bit, but to be fair, I incited that, so it's my fault. Gut reaction: what is something that gaming had in your childhood it doesn't have now?
Legit physical versions on PC, I suppose.
Fair, that's
Box
fair.
PC games.
That
And
is fair.
I used to love it because and manuals, right? Like, so we were talking about this the other day, actually, over the desks. Like, I'm a big Heroes of Might and Magic fan back in the day. And the beautiful thing about strategy games was that they came with a manual that was like legitimately almost as fat as the yellow pages. So, you could beat someone with that. It would do damage. But it made for amazing reading when you're like, I don't know, your mummy or dad is driving you back home, or you're on the bus back to wherever, or you've got a really, you're in the bathroom or whatever, and you're biding some time. Because obviously we didn't have smartphones, so you couldn't just be scrolling the internet, and it beats reading the back of a shampoo bottle. So you're just there, like leafing through, looking at all the like the unit values. And I think one of the nice things about manuals and like back in the day was it really, really just contributed to that sense of anticipation, right? Like now, and digital's contributed to this, and obviously widespread, amazing, super fast broadband and supercomputers in our pockets has contributed to this. Everything's immediate, right? So instant gratification. If I want a game, I can just download it, and thanks to the power of broadband, it'll be playable in minutes, potentially. But like the anticipation of having to go into town, well, first of all, having to save up, like all your pocket money and your little chore fund or whatever, or taking some stuff that your nan gave you for Christmas, whatever, like 3 Christmases. And then you've got to go into town. You're spending 45 minutes in an EB or a game station or a game poring over like the choice of what should I get. Then you get this thing. And then it's just, yeah, that anticipation of I can't play this immediately. Probably can't even play it necessarily when I get home immediately because, if you were lucky enough to have a computer, it was probably shared. Like, just like, Dad, are you doing work? No. Oh, cool. Can I play a game for half an hour? All right. Or you'd have to wait. And yeah, just leafing through the manual to sort of like until you can get to that slot where you can actually play the thing. That's that sense of, so yeah, two things, I guess. A tangible thing in terms of like boxes and manuals and that physical experience is definitely dwindling. But like certainly on PC, doesn't really exist. Most PCs don't have disk drives, so yeah, go figure. But like also the anticipation, that's gone. Midnight launches by and large are a thing of the past. Although, every so often we might, one or two might pop up, but that anticipation, I think, and that excitement, that building excitement of having the thing in your hands, and I think that's something that's it's not fully lost, because obviously physical still exists, and stores still exist, but it's not what it used to be. So yeah,
I
that's.
had that thing with, because I like Eternal Champions, one of my favorite mega drive games, and it's like the same with The Witcher. Like the character, you get to get the page, or Tekken, the manual had the
Yes.
characters on each page. It's
Yeah.
like this is legit reading. It's an actual thing to read. Like I can
Yeah.
learn. Like the Witcher bestiary, or like the Eternal Champion backstories. I loved it. And like I love what you said about beating people, because they used to be so thick that it made couch co-op fun, didn't it? Let's just put it that way.
I used to love as well. There are plenty of folks doing amazing work. Game guides have saved games media in a way, because that's what people are searching for. That's what people want to read. But I remember back in the day, like you'd be able to walk into a game or a game station, and there'd be like a bundle offer with a Prima strategy guide, and I used to love reading those as well. Like it wasn't really cheating. It was more like it was just like, I'm just reading more about this thing. It was a way to almost consume the game when you couldn't play it. It's just like, oh right, this is the map of freaking facility in 007 GoldenEye. And okay, cool, right, this is the best route through it. The because I you couldn't really one back in the 90s, like dial up took forever, and it wasn't like you could just hop on GameFAQs and be like, yeah, how do I speed run the like the 007 or like the 00 agent time to unlock the golden gun for this level? But your Prima strategy guide had you covered, and that's the best.
We had this thing. That's just but remember, we had this thing. So I teach in schools, right? Right, high school. And I was talking about, because this kid had wasn't a Steam Deck, it was something else, but he had a handheld console. And I was like, just having a discussion with him. And I said, you don't understand the pain of playing, I don't know, Gears of War or Call of Duty or anything like that around 2005, 6-ish, and getting an MSN Messenger message, and it ruining your speeds or cutting you out of the game. I was like, you don't understand
Or
the
like someone picks up the phone, or like a phone call comes in, and the net just dies. You're just like, oh no.
it was hilarious. But I forget they weren't even alive then. It really bugs me. Let's go on to the next bit, because I'm gonna start crying otherwise. So we do creator spotlight. So your chance now to shout out the creators you really enjoy, or if you're not comfortable doing it, no dramas at all. We don't need names, but just give us an idea of the content you enjoy and why you enjoy it.
So I think it varies from platform to platform. So I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass, but I think the work that you do in terms of spotlighting creators on TikTok is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I've been really fortunate enough to work in most areas of at least the comms side of the industry now. So, and I've seen creator and influencer management from like having been an in-house kind of content creator, which is sort of what I'm back to at the Game Collection, I guess, in a way, and having been an influencer manager at 2K PlayOn. And I think one of the questions I always used to get asked was, like what can I do? How do I grow my channel? What can I do to get noticed by publishers and by devs and by agencies and so on and so forth? And there's no real silver bullet, but collabs are always a useful thing. Consistency is the biggest, obviously, but I think having a community where you're sort of lifting everyone up, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So like what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. A few folks that I definitely want to call out from just sort of being really, really friendly, really inspirational as well, and helping us get our our TikTok rolling a bit more and kind of engaging with our content. So El Mundo, I love his channel as well. Just pure nostalgic bliss. Mike, Yorkshire Gamer, what a collection and an absolutely, brilliant stand-up gent. I've already mentioned Charles, but like absolutely fantastic, incredibly relatable. Holly as well on the retro side, absolutely brilliant. Like and the energy that she brings to it is fantastic. And then like there are kind of frankly too many to mention. But a couple of folks that I'd like to shout out as well. I've been fortunate enough to work with in the past. So, folks like Geeky Cassie flying the flag for Black gamers and Black streamers, and seeing her success going from strength to strength to strength, absolutely awesome.
I'll
There
just really
is
quick,
a
just really quick on that before you move on, because I know there's a few more. I've wanted Geeky Cassie for a while because I think her story's class. I think it's so good. I really do. I think I'd
She's
learned so
awesome.
much from that. I think everyone else would as well. I'd love to have a conversation. Yeah.
It's lovely to see Midas, Mr. Midas, fronting up a lot of Futures coverage and seeing the journey that he's been on as well. Like, again, absolutely fantastic. Mel Croft, I've got to give a shout out to Mel. I was fortunate enough to work with her at during my time at PlayOn. Gamer, body painter extraordinaire. She is absolutely fantastic. And the energy that she brings to her painting, to her streams, infectious enthusiasm. One of a kind, absolutely brilliant. There are simply too many to mention, to be fair. I think I just, where's my phone? I need to scroll through the list, but
As you've
I
always
could
said,
do
though, it's
without.
not a bad thing. If there's too many, it's good because it means it's in a positive place.
Yeah, I want to shout out. You've had him on as well, JPS Darko. He's been a real, just a real, real champion. Always engages with our stuff, and I think it's just been really, really, really lovely to see, and a nice kind of reinforcement that we're that as a kind of business looking to kind of be more social first. We're going in the right direction, and we're going the right way about it. And then over on Instagram, I suppose folks like Ryan Alexander, Spud Gaming, want to shout out. Jazz, what's your handle? Jasmine, White Lion. Oh God, I'm gonna fuck this up. White Lion Games. Oh, where's my phone? Where's my phone? I'm gonna get it right. I'm gonna get it right. White Lion Games, yes. And press Nat to start. So yeah, a couple of creators that we've worked with, just both got incredible styles. Jasmine's way of shooting things is phenomenal. Like really, 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 really awesome. And also shout out to Salvahead, who again, photographer extraordinaire. Just really, 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 really clean work. Like super, super, super awesome. But
Is
yeah,
that what gripped you
there are too
most?
many to there are too many to mention, to be honest.
Oh, there are, no doubt about it. And that's why it's so cool, I think, because the people can think it's a bad thing to mention only a few. But in some cases it's good because it means there's so many that you just forget.
There
That
are.
means it's in your place.
And I'm gonna give Kale a shout out as well. One, because he helped us get he helped us sail past 10,000 followers.
I forgot. This is my plug to you, to him. You know the guy, apparently. Get him on. I've been chasing that fella for a long time.
I think that would be an incredible meeting of minds. Because obviously, yeah, you've both got just a huge amount of things. I think you guys would be able to talk about. But yeah, another champion in the physical space as well. Just making me wish we had bricks and mortar stores so we could film in them, to be honest. But if you want to stand in a CNX and shout a CEX and shout us out, I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna take that. So
Yeah.
yeah. But I will say that following him is also. It's gonna break your wallet because you're just it's gonna fuel the collection bug. Even more.
I just, do you know what it is, right? My first in my interaction, my first introduction to him was he was responding to, this was ages ago, responding to a comment that he gets a lot of that are like, oh, why are you doing this or whatever. I forget what it was. But basically, I'm a big fan, big lover of like satirical, I'm not going to insult you, but sarcastic, like break. I love it. And he just fits my style so much. And I love to have a conversation with
It's
him.
very British as well. It's
Oh,
very.
I love it so much. It's like, if you're going to come at me, I'm going to come at you, but in a slightly more clever way. I absolutely love it to bits, man. Get into the bit that I love, though. This is my favorite part because no one else likes it, but I do. Why should someone be following you?
So this is a question I ask myself every day. First of all, because we're a bastion of physical gaming media, and we've got the best, if not the only, loyalty scheme still in the game. So yeah, for all of your physical gaming needs, check out the game collection. But I think, we like to have fun with it. We're gamers selling games to gamers. And I said it before, like, if you've got love for games, we've got love for you. That's it. It doesn't matter what you're playing, it doesn't matter how you're playing. What matters is that you're playing. And if you want to come celebrate that, we're here to celebrate that too. Celebrate you. Like, there are more ways as well that we're looking to kind of, ramp up that celebration of our community as well. So we started Sunday Shelfies over on Instagram just to be able to sort of like surface some of the great collecting that a lot of our diehards are doing. I want to extend that into, not kind of treading on toes or in any sort of sense, but yeah, how can we use our platform to spotlight creators and collecting creators in particular, and folks that also love physical media? How can we celebrate our community for more? So I think that's something that we always look to do. We want conversation as well. Like, we're a retailer that will talk back. If you ask us questions, we'll answer, we'll respond. Jack does a phenomenal job basically running Twitter these days like a sort of text-based radio station almost. So, if you drop a comment, he will reply. And it's the same sort of here on TikTok, on YouTube. You drop a comment, I'll respond, like, sometimes even with a video, right? So like we love sort of that stuff happening. So know that you're talking to humans, know that you're talking to people that are really passionate about this, and that's hopefully why you'd sort of follow us over some of our retail competitors, shall we say. And we'll always try and be authentic and honest about it as well. Like, there'll be things that we have to caveat, and the bias is always there in that, like, we're never gonna necessarily just dump on a thing that we're selling. Although, I think I've been pilloried enough for the Mind's Eye video I made. I think we can all admit that that was a real stinker. But yeah, like, we'll always try and be authentic with it, and we'll always try and give folks straight and honest answers, and even, even and especially when there are problems as well, we'll always try and communicate with customers and be very transparent and be very upfront. And that's why. Also for the memes and the lulls and the debates and the sometimes mildly spicy takes. And also, if you sometimes just want to see like an overweight fluffy man sing, because any excuse really. Already trying to work on like what a game collection Christmas EP could be like. I don't know. But yeah.
But this goes back to what we said earlier, though, a little bit in terms of it, this sort of thing won't ever die out because of people like yourself, because of the game collection, because of these independent places or these other places that have a real feel to them. You can see, look, but I've spoken to you for about an hour now on recording, and in about 2 seconds, I knew how passionate you were. And it's like that sort of thing comes through. You know what I mean? There's an authentic, you said authenticity there that people can just latch onto. People don't want to go into a big, massive, monopolized conglomerate store and have Joe Bloggs on the counter. You want to have a conversation with someone real, you know? That's not to knock that per se. I just mean, generally speaking, I'd rather have a conversation with Alex at Level Up because he loves it. It's his
Yeah.
passion. It's a passion project that he makes money from. I can get behind that. I'm more than willing to have a conversation about why I'm wrong and why he's right. Basically, he helps me learn stuff the same way you would, the same way you do. So it's not hard for someone to come across you or your page or the game, whatever it is, and get behind it because there is a love there.
I think that's true. That's true for a lot of folks in the game collection. We've got plenty of people still at TGC that were there at the beginning. Like our owner is just as passionate about selling games and trading games and that sort of side of the business as he was 20 years ago when he was flipping copies of Twin Snakes. And I think like that's it kind of underpins everything. Like and hopefully, yeah, from myself and Jack, that comes through on our social media. Like we genuinely love this stuff. He genuinely wants to see Dino Crisis and the Getaway come back. Like if anyone's ever sort of encountered our Twitter feed, you'll know how much he advocates for those two things. Like it's a privilege to be in this position, right? And to be able to do this for a living and to be able to kind of you I always think when you're working in social, particularly social like this, it really helps to love it because it's authenticity matters. I think it'd be very, very, very difficult to do this job, I think, if you didn't love games and you weren't genuinely passionate about video games and you weren't genuinely passionate about physical media. And I think because you're engaging with folks that are every single day and actually just being able to celebrate that is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing.
It's a comparison I made before, but it's not like the gym, not that I go, but it's that thing where it can be super intimidating to be a part of it, to join in, to jump in. But that's the sort of stereotype you hear and you get. But when you are in it, the community is super supportive and they celebrate your little wins, they celebrate your little goal achievements, and it's a super productive, supportive space. And that's what I think gaming is and online is, if you find the right places. And so that's why people like yourself make it the way it is. And places like you and you guys are what people should be looking for. So just keep doing what you're doing, essentially. This has been fabulous. I think we've learned so much. And we always do the same thing at every end. And is there anything before we finish that you want to finish with?
I want to finish with. Well, if you're interested in buying games, do head over to thegamecollection.net. Free UK track delivery, reward points on every order. That's a big thing for us, right? Like I think, loyalty schemes are a massive thing for us. And it's nice to be able to sort of still have one that works. But I think the biggest thing as well would be come have a chat. If you encounter us, whichever platform you're on, drop us a message, drop us a comment. Please, please, please engage. We see every single comment, every single like, and it genuinely makes the world a difference. There are only two people at the Game Collection on the marketing side these days, which is myself and Jack. And we read everything. So I think, a lot of folks might be like, oh, won't really make a difference. Trust me, when we get a positive comment, like it can turn a shitty day around. Getting into a little back and forth around like our favorite games or what the last Nintendo Direct was like, or like, are we excited about XYZ? Like it genuinely makes our day. So thank you to everyone who already does. And if as you say, like it can be intimidating as well, like, but if you're thinking like, oh, they don't want to hear from me, no, like we absolutely do. It doesn't matter. Like as I say, whatever you're playing, whatever you're enjoying, if you've got questions, if you're anxious about anything, like you can always drop us a message, drop us a line. So
That's an important message too, by the way, because I've had this thing where you said about a conversation and having a chance to chat about things and in a safe space to do so. And the fact you try and garner that is one of your things. But it's same for me. Like, I wouldn't mind having a conversation on here with someone that I would say vehemently, but I really disagree with. There's someone that's potentially controversial because I like conversation. If someone can sit here and tell me that, I don't know, there's a gaming thing that shouldn't be, whatever. If it's a thing that someone really says that I really disagree with it, let's chat about it. Let's try and understand what's what on both sides. And that can be achieved by just good conversation. And that's what we're trying to do. So I can really relate to that from your point of view.
Yeah, and it's something that like you have to curate So I think you have to create and curate spaces for that online. And it's, having spent a large portion of my career as a community manager on the publishing side, you're engaging with people that have got really, 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 really strong opinions, and folks that will disagree with one another quite vehemently. And it's establishing community guidelines and setting up spaces where that can happen in a, as you say, in a safe environment. And I think, where people can speak their truth, but you're doing so in a respectful and a kind of in a mature way that allows that conversation to flow. So I think it's always been an important part, I think, of certainly everywhere I've worked in the last 18, 20 years has been, how do you create and then curate those spaces?
I want to thank you massively because I think this has been illuminating on many different levels. And I think the work you do and the work you guys do is fabulous. I hope people can go and check it out if they
Well,
don't already.
likewise, man. Like, I really appreciate you having me on, and I think, the work you do in platforming creators is it's so important as well. So no, I appreciate you,
No, I appreciate that. Before I start crying with happiness, I'm going to end
man. Oh yeah,
it.
I make good inspirational speeches. So.
I actually love it. Again, for anyone who hasn't done it already, please check him out, Matt. Please check out his page, check out everything game collection related. You've been episode 18, and I'll catch everybody on the next one.